He giveth his beloved sleep. You are not the only one who has restless, sleepless hours. The world is full of people who nightly turn to the psalmist's promise, He giveth his beloved sleep. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, you may remember, has expanded the comforting theme into a poem of 9 stanzas. A man may have the ability to measure and weigh the moon, and yet have to bow down to an ordinary cold or to a night of worry, which proves that something more than intellectuality may be necessary to invoke the healing power of the Almighty. Nevertheless, clear and intelligent thinking is an outstanding feature in metaphysical therapeutics, whether the desire is to overcome sickness and poverty, or to gain rest and repose. But why, you ask, cannot one quiet down and go to sleep when the hour arrives? No doubt there are many reasons. One of them will hold good for one person, and another for someone else. I find that I lie awake when I should be asleep, because I like to keep up my thinking. And thinking is a good part of living. Not that one stops thinking when he falls asleep. On the contrary, his thought takes on incredible speed the moment he steps out into the next door realm of slumber. Now, some people try to minimize the need of sleep. They despise it, you would think from their conversation, and regard it as a blackout. To me, sleep possesses more dignity. It is a realm from which weariness and fatigue have been banished. After we have basked in its balmy atmosphere for a few hours, we return to this hard-working world refreshed and ready to take up our labors where we laid them down the night before. We sleep, but the loom of life never stops, says Beecher, and the pattern which was weaving when the sun went down is weaving when it comes up tomorrow. Hence you and I are perfectly in accord with Shakespeare's laudation, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. No doubt people in these hectic days indulge in too little repose, rather than in too much. You see indications in their drawn and anxious countenances. There's plenty of time in eternity. There is no compelling necessity that you and I should deprive ourselves of reasonable quiet and rest. It does not do to burn the candle at both ends. Sensible people do not, except in emergencies. Do not be so intense on this issue of sleep. Do not contemplate how strong and refreshed you will be in the morning if you enjoy a night's rest, or, on the other hand, picture how run down you will be when the sun rises if you have not had a full quota of slumber. In this carefree attitude, you will presently fall asleep, and if you should not do so promptly, there is nothing to be concerned about. One remedy for sleeplessness is to think about it as little as you can. When thou liest down, assures the proverb, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now let God take over the night shift, says the sensible businessman when the hour comes to turn in. I suspect, as you intimate, that sleeplessness can be due to our reluctance to surrender. We like to keep active, quite unwilling to drop our soliloquy. But we do not drop anything except our burdens. Existence goes on, generally, in freer and swifter measure. The child who has not taken on the anxieties of life falls asleep as naturally as he awakes. Falling asleep, after all, is waking up in another world, pleasant and restful. Certainly, there is no reason to hesitate about letting go and embarking on the journey. Says Byron, "Strange state of being, for 'tis still to be, senseless to feel, and with sealed eyes to see." Put the brake on those fretful night thoughts. They are not yours. They are set in motion by mischievous suggestion, which perches on your shoulder. Shoo him off. You know how. You say blood pressure is no part of God or of God's man? Why not say it is no part of me? There is nothing to me but spirit in all its plenitude and quietude. Now I can lay me down to rest and sleep, because it is his will that I shall forget weariness and tension and take on that relaxation and serenity that passes understanding. Avail yourself of the pledge. He giveth his beloved sleep. You can depend on him each night to lead you into that land of slumber where the wicked cease to trouble and the weary are at rest. You do not have to work or struggle. Let him take possession. Try to recognize your unity with spirit and thereby feel its support and rhythm. Spirit is the basis of every movement and act. Hence it is that your thought and action can be in the realm of equanimity, the fourth dimensional world, where peace reigns uncontested. Say to yourself, as did the psalmist, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety."